Sometimes the world's media reminds me of one of my young children when he was small and learning to potty train. He would be standing there in the corner of the living room with a puddle around his feet, yelling, "Nobody knows!" Just because you don't admit something doesn't mean it's not reality. Welcome to this week's edition of The Bible in the News. This is Tim Billington joining you. Alistair Heath of the Daily Telegraph wrote a really great piece talking about the media and Israel, or the world really, and Israel, and how they are uncomfortable with what they see. He says, there's something about Israel that makes people uncomfortable, and it's not what they say it is. They'll point to politics, settlements, borders, and wars, but beneath the outrage, you'll find something deeper, a discomfort, not with what Israel does, but what Israel is. You see, he goes on, a nation this small should not be this strong, period. Israel does so well in so many things, and he lists a whole pile of them. The world watches and can't make sense of it. So what do? They make excuses. They assume it must be cheating of some kind. How could this possibly be real? This is what drives the world crazy, he says. Because if Israel is real, if this improbable, ancient, hated nation is somehow still chosen, protected, and thriving, then maybe God isn't a myth after all. Maybe he's still in the story. Maybe history isn't random. Maybe evil doesn't get the last word. Maybe the Jews are not just a people, but a testimony. And that's what they can't stand. As he goes on, the problem is that if you admit that Israel's survival isn't just impressive, but divine, everything changes. Your moral compass has to be reset. Your assumptions about history, power, justice collapse. You realize you're not watching the end of an empire, you're witnessing the beginning of something eternal. So they deny it, they smear it, they rage against it. Because it's easier to call a miracle cheating than to face the possibility that God keeps his promises. And he concludes by saying, and he's keeping them still. God wants the world to understand that it is him that's working with his nation. There's a story in Judges about Gideon when he is going out against the Midianites, and God is helping him prepare his army. And he whittles them down and down until he's only left with 300 men to take out an army of myriads, because he wanted to be sure that Israel would know for certain that it was God, that they couldn't chalk it up to their own strength and ability. And this is how it is in the end of days as well. Isaiah 49 quite spells this out in verse 25 and 26. We'll read this together. Verse 25, "But thus saith the Lord, even the captives of the mighty shall be taken away, and the prey of the terrible shall be delivered. The mighty nations in the world, God will judge them. For I will contend with him that contendeth with thee." God will stick up for Israel. "And I will save thy children, and I will feed them that oppress thee with their own flesh, and they shall be drunken with their own blood as with sweet wine. And all flesh shall know that I, the Lord, am thy Savior and thy Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob." God wants them to know that it is him and that he is God and he is in control. There's a spirit of the age, the time after, as it says here, that the Euphrates River is dried up. The rivers are associated with the nations that are around them, sometimes in prophecy. If you go back in Revelation, it associates the Euphrates River with the Islamic power that came across and set up the Ottoman Empire. After this empire dries up, as it talks about in verse 12 there, "The sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up." So there's the drying up of the Euphrates, and then I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, the beast, and the false prophet. Earlier in Revelation, there's a prophecy that deals with the French Revolution. So this isn't exactly the French Revolution, but you can follow those frog spirits back to the spirit of democracy that comes up in the French Revolution and spreads. And it's something that is similar to that, that comes out of the dragon, the beast, and the false prophet, these European and Catholic powers. It says in verse 14 that these are the spirits of devils. Sometimes devils in the Bible is used of people with mental illness. So it's like it's saying that they are crazy. and they're working miracles. The things that this accomplishes in the earth is unprecedented to the point of seeming miraculous. And in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, it speaks about a strong delusion. Verse 11, "For this cause God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie." There's so much deception in the world today, it's unprecedented. If you peel back the surface a little bit, you see that the Catholic Church is involved in much of it. And there's been several incidents in recent weeks involving Catholic churches, including one in Gaza and one in Judea and Samaria, or the West Bank, as the world would call it. There's been a major deception problem with the Palestinian Authority, with Hamas, and the whole situation for years. There's been copious information, exposés and behind the scenes and all kinds of things. The same person appears in numerous different clips and photos, and they just make things up. If you are caught making things up, it makes it plain and obvious that the thing you're making up is not real. IDF attacking you, you would show it. Instead, we find making of fakes. You make fakes if you don't have the real thing. There's some people that I met in Israel that now run the Israel Guys, and they highlight many of these kinds of things. One time when they're heading back home to where they live on Har Bracha in Samaria, they came across a fake riot that was just there for the media. Let's take a look at it.
See a lot of smoke here, like, okay, what's going on?
By the way, this is at the entrance to Shechem or Nablus, right? Yeah. Here's the press lined up on the side of the
road. You see a few IDF soldiers.
Mm-hmm.
They're not even close to the action. They're just in it. They're shooting rocks into an empty road. Look, just keep watching this. And look, there's hundreds of people going absolutely nuts the whole time here. Look again. Right, okay, so here's the press. Here's the press. And the rocks on the street are just full of rocks. So, and they're not throwing those rocks.
Who are they throwing the rocks at?
No one.
Should be IDF, like, right over here, right?
Look at this guy. Okay, he's just chucking a rock there.
Should be, like, hundreds of soldiers and
all
jeeps.
These guys.
Oh, they're running at.
You would think, Luke, if you saw a picture, that they would be launching that at somebody.
Running at what? There's nobody there.
Luke.
There's nobody there. Who are they throwing the rocks at?
Literally. Those rocks, there's like thousands of rocks just piled up in the road there. Nope, they're not throwing them at anybody. They're doing it for that camera guy to get a good shot.
Oh, that would be a great picture.
Okay, watch this. Look, this is hysterical. See that lady throw that rock? That lady tried to throw a rock. Now watch her.
Yeah, I saw that.
She's telling the media to come closer. She's laughing.
Come here. Hold on. It'll be a better picture if you come a little closer. Oh, yeah, there we go.
She literally is laughing and telling the media to come a little closer. That's how scary it is. Okay, now we're going to preface this, Luke, because she's laughing. And now, okay, no shots fired here. What is the ambulance all about?
Right.
Did one of his friends knock him in the back of the head with a rock he was throwing, or
maybe
shoot him
like
with a
the
firework
from Gaza, where you misfire and, you know, hit yourself?
Look at all these ambulances.
That's a lot of ambulances.
There's ambulances like spinning in. They're making circles the whole time I was there. I was there for like an hour. These ambulances are just on rotation, zipping in, zipping out, zipping in, zipping out, and you see it. This is what's going on, and people are acting like they're hurt. They're getting in the ambulances. They're I honestly, I'm sitting right there.
Right.
I didn't see anything on how anybody got hurt unless, you know, their friend bumped them or something. But literally, it's a crisis zone.
Well, it reminds me, too, of a friend of ours was saying he was a medic and he was stationed in Ramallah and he saw a riot like this.
Okay, this is it. Watch this. Somebody's
about to be loaded. This is exactly what I was about to say. He saw people being loaded into ambulances and then he followed the ambulance around the corner and they would jump out and the ambulance would circle back around.
Okay, that's exactly what's going on here. This guy, he's faked out. He's jumped down and now
waving
he's
waving his hand.
He's waving his and the medics all ran in, take him off. They're gonna go put him in the ambulance. We're gonna replay this guy's in a little bit of a slow motion for you.
Nice.
Okay, here's the guy. He stands up.
Oh, he just stands up.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with him. You can even look closer.
He's going back down.
Go back, guys. He's actually like smiling. There's nothing wrong with this person. He lays down.
He was down on the ground, and then he stood up, and then I think he just went down again.
He's like, wait, skit's not over.
Right.
They're like, no, get back down. And now he's waving, you know, they're calling the ambulance in. He comes in. There's video cameras all around. You see the cameras.
Wow.
They're calling, hurry up, you know, come in here fast. You know, the cameras are on.
Cameras are rolling.
We need this kind of footage because the international community, again, where are the IDF soldiers?
They're at way, they're behind, way over here to your left, to the left of the
and
screen,
you know what the IDF is doing?
The screen.
The IDF is protecting an Israeli civilian road
right.
from these rioters.
Oh, there they go. They're carrying them off.
They're running them off. Okay, Sam? You see this green hero Hamas guy in the back here?
It's hilarious.
Not at all. They're playing with each other, having fun. Look at me, you know, take my picture again.
So they have a completely fake riot. They're throwing rocks at nobody. And then the media picks it up. Here you go. Next day, there they are. You can still find the photos on Getty Images. There's just been a big thing in the news because there was a reporter targeted by Israel. But these people are part of Hamas. Either directly, some of them are actually fighters, and some of them are just the propaganda arm. Would Joseph Goebbels be a legitimate target in World War II? Look at his social media post on Telegram, Anas al-Sharif. 9 hours and the heroes are still roaming the country, killing and capturing. God, God, how great you are. October 7th, 2023. It is literally insane. And they're trying to frame Israel for attacking people coming for aid.
Attack Gazans who attempt to avail themselves of this aid. We've seen Hamas threaten and blackmail Gazans against seeking out this aid. And we appear to have seen Hamas also staging massacres and then pinning the blame for these massacres on Israel. And the BBC and CNN, all of them should have stopped for 5 minutes to think about it. Which really makes more sense? That Hamas would continue to do on a larger scale what it's been doing for the last 20 months? Or that the Israelis would concoct some convoluted scheme of distributing aid, which is unpopular in Israel, in order to lure Palestinians into a trap so that they could kill them 30 at a time in front of cameras where the international community would see them and condemn them for it. It just makes no sense.
By Sunday evening, media publications began quietly updating their stories, sometimes without issuing corrections. By Tuesday, those stories were gone altogether.
They wrote, Israeli tank kills 26. Israeli tank kills 21. Israeli gunfire kills 31. Red Cross says 21 people were killed in an aid incident. And then, oh wait, they had to correct and take down their entire story, saying we reviewed the footage and couldn't find any evidence of anything.
This has been a chronic problem in reporting from Gaza for decades now, because there really is the fiction that Western media maintains a presence in Gaza. They do not.
That is the truth. What Western journalist wants to be in Gaza, subject to Hamas and the situation there? This is a guy that came out, used to work for the Associated Press, and he has become a bit of a whistleblower to alert people to what's actually going on behind the scenes.
As far as I know, I was the first staffer to erase information from a story because we were threatened by Hamas, which happened at the very end of 2008. We had a great reporter in Gaza, a Palestinian, who had always been really an excellent reporter. We had a detail in a story. The detail was a crucial one. It was that Hamas fighters were dressed as civilians and were being counted as civilians in the death toll. An important thing to know, that went out in an AP story. The reporter called me a few hours later. It was clear that someone had spoken to him. And he told me, I was on the desk in Jerusalem, so I was kind of writing the story from the main bureau in Jerusalem, and he said, Matti, you have to take that detail out of the story. And it was clear that someone had threatened him. I took the detail out of the story. I suggested to our editors that we note in an editor's note that we were now complying with Hamas censorship. I was overruled, and from that point in time, the AP, like all of its sister organizations, collaborates with Hamas censorship in Gaza.
There we go. Hamas censorship in Gaza. That's what goes on. And it's been going on for so long now. You tell lies for long enough, people start to believe. The news media, in his case, the Associated Press, has just become an amplifier for Hamas propaganda.
Long. So since 2008, certainly since 2014, when we had another serious war in Gaza, the press has not been covering in Gaza. The press has been essentially an amplifier for one of the most poisonous ideologies on earth. Hamas has figured out how to make the press amplify its messaging rather than covering Hamas. There are no Western reporters in Gaza. All of the reporters in Gaza are Palestinians, and those people fall into three categories. Some of them identify with Hamas. Some of them are intimidated by Hamas and won't cross Hamas, which makes a lot of sense. I wouldn't want to cross Hamas either. And the third category is people who actually belong to Hamas. That's where the information from Gaza is coming from. And if you're credulous, then of course you're going to get a story that makes Israel look pretty bad.
Yes, Hamas propaganda makes Israel look pretty bad. The Associated Press is 100% behind this. It's their policy, not just that they're being strong-armed.
Journalism, the question that I'm asking is, what's going on? The question that was increasingly being asked was not what's going on. The question was, who does this serve? That's an activist question. So when you look at a story, you don't ask, is it true or is it not true? You ask, who's it going to help? Is it going to help the good guys or is it going to help the bad guys? So if Israel in the story is the villain, then a story that makes Israel seem reasonable or rational or sympathetic needs to be played down to the extent possible or made to disappear. And I can give you an example from my own experience. At the very end of 2008, two reporters in my bureau, people who I know, learned of a very dramatic peace offer that Prime Minister Ehud Olmert had made to the Palestinians. So Olmert, who was the prime minister at the time, had made a very far-reaching offer that was supposed to see a Palestinian state in all of Gaza, most of the West Bank, with land swaps for territory that Israel was going to retain, and a very far-reaching international consortium agreement to run the old city of Jerusalem. It was a very dramatic, it was so far-reaching, I think, that Israelis probably wouldn't have supported it, but it was offered to the Palestinian side, and the Palestinians rejected it as insufficient. And two of our reporters knew about this and they'd seen a map of the offer. And this was obviously a pretty big story for a bureau that had as the thrust of its coverage, the peace process. The two reporters who had the story were ordered to drop it. They were not allowed to cover the story. And there were different explanations. And they didn't, by the way. AP did not publish the story at the time, even though we were the first to have it. Eventually, it kind of came out in other ways through other news organizations. But we knew it first. Why were we not allowed to cover it? Because it would have made the Israelis, who we were trying to villainize and demonize, it would have made Israel seem like it was trying to solve the conflict on kind of unreasonable lines, which of course was true at that time. So that story would have upended the thrust of our news coverage, so it had to be made to go away, even though it was true. It would have helped the wrong people. And that...
There you go. It's not about news at all. It's about getting their message across. And they're purposefully trying to demonize Israel and make people think badly of them. That's a ridiculously huge story. And who would ever, if you were a news media outlet, that's like your bread and butter. To have a huge story like that, that's an incredibly strong agenda to try and demonize Israel, that you would shut something like that off. But since that time, it's only got worse. And one of the worst offenders is the BBC.
Next guest, investigative journalist David Collier, this week revealed his expose on the BBC's new documentary, Gaza, How to Survive a War Zone. The documentary followed the lives of a number of Gazan children, but as David revealed, the central character and narrator, 14-year-old Abdullah Al-Yazouri, was in fact the son of Ayman Al-Yazouri, the deputy minister of agriculture in the Hamas-run government. The BBC did not disclose this to the viewers. The BBC subsequently apologized before it was then revealed that a further two of the children in the film were linked to Hamas, prompting the broadcaster to remove the documentary from the iPlayer.
So they're putting this out as though this documentary is just a news piece from the neutral and reliable BBC. And really, it's just Hamas themselves telling you the propaganda they want you to believe.
I think Hamas have full editorial control, right? You only have to ask yourself over the last 16 months, how many Gazan journalists, and there are a lot of them standing there with cameras, have done an exclusive on the hostages or shown us where the rockets are or shown us where the tunnels are? Zero. None. We don't see anything that Hamas doesn't want us to see. Because for the last 16 months, we've been finding errors in BBC reporting consistently. And this raises an institutional problem, because they know that there's a problem with their reporting.
Well, is it? So you say that we should know that Hamas is going to be involved.
Yes.
How it would get through all the paperwork and, as you say, the due diligence at the BBC is so telling as to the failing of the BBC to acknowledge that Hamas basically run the show there.
For sure. I mean, look, it's not like it was just the narrator. And he was a narrator. He was the star of their show. And he's the son of the Hamas minister. So it's a sickening position where, because it's funded by us, we are paying for the BBC to promote a radical Islamic terrorist organization and pay or give gifts to members. I mean, they must have, you know, there must have been something passing hands here. They were following him for weeks. The cameramen, at the very least, and possibly with the producers, somebody must have known who the father was. And yet it ends up 9 o'clock on Monday evening being shown to the people of the UK. It's an absolute disgrace.
Because you mentioned the cameraman as well. Like, didn't you find social media one of the cameramen?
But this is the thing, you see. It's not like, you know, you're looking for a needle in a haystack. You know, I mean, so the narrator is the son of a Hamas minister, actual Hamas government official. There were two girls on there. Their father was a Hamas, was a Gazan policeman, so he's a Hamas enforcer. Another child on there was found to be standing next to Hamas terrorists holding weapons. The cameraman had posted celebrations following the October the 7th massacres. It wasn't one thing. They did not bother to look at all.
Once again, we don't see anything that Hamas doesn't want us to see coming out of Gaza, unless it comes from the IDF. The BBC has to know this.
You're right. Look, they're pushing this out. And what it's doing, I mean, because it's so skewed that it's demonizing effectively the only liberal democracy in the Middle East. It's a full demonization process. By extension, it's demonizing Zionism and Zionists. And it leaves people like me who are defending them, you know, as being I get attacked in the United Kingdom constantly because the BBC are pushing this poison out. And as you say, this is they're respected across the world, which means the BBC are effectively injecting anti-Semitism into the veins of this country.
They're demonizing Israel and they're spreading their anti-Semitic vitriol across the world and influencing everybody else as well. And if you dare to actually be a Jew who is part of the BBC, that's a terrible situation. Here's an example.
I had a phone call from a journalist, BBC, female about a month and a half ago. She was in tears. She's been working there for two decades and just crying her way. She doesn't know what to do. Her
so job she knows that there's institutional bias.
Most of the Jews working there know this.
Oh, the Jews working there are miserable.
Yes, they are.
I mean, they have support groups.
Yeah, they do. They can't. They're not allowed to write on Israel. They're not allowed to write on it. It's crazy, the situation.
I mean, which is racist in itself, isn't it?
Yeah, of course it is. Absolutely.
Absolutely racist in itself.
Yeah.
That's basically, you know, being discriminated for being Jewish to write about a topic that you could actually give some insight into.
Especially as half of the people writing on the Israel issue are from Egypt or Lebanon or Iraq or...
Or English Arabists.
Or English Arabists. So on that side, it's okay. But if you're Jewish, you can't write about Israel.
Exactly.
No Jews allowed. They only allow the story from one side. If you're so much as Jewish, we're not even going to let you start. And there's other problems as well. For example, their translation. The BBC translates this, fighting and resisting Israeli forces. The Daily Telegraph has a more accurate translation, jihad against the Jews. They don't want to just announce to everybody that these people just want to kill the Jews, but that is the truth. There's another thing too. The world tries to make out like it is the poor, small, oppressed Palestinians against Israel so that Israel looks like the big nasty aggressor. Really, there's millions of Muslims against Israel. In the last war, where did the missiles come from? They were all over the place. And all of this has a great effect. You don't need to look any further than the hostage posters. The hostage posters were posted and no sooner were they put up and people started ripping them down. I couldn't believe it at the time when I first saw it. It's unbelievable. I mean, think about it. If there's a lost cat sign or a lost dog sign, how often do you see those ripped down? They would prefer that the dog was saved than the Jews. Here's another fellow showing his deep anti-Semitism and hatred of Israel from the Foreign Press Association.
The Ministry of Health. Hamas controls the place. Journalists there, frankly, I don't care whether Ash-Sharif was in Hamas or not. We don't kill journalists for being Republicans or Democrats or in Britain, Labour Party. Hamas is a political organization as well as a terrorist organization, perhaps.
Hamas is perhaps a terrorist organization. really, he thinks they're equal to the Republicans or the Democrats. When was the last time the Republicans had a great slaughter fest against the Jews? If the Republicans went out and slaughtered people like Hamas does, then they would be terrorists too. The only reason they're not terrorists is because they don't perform terrorism. It really does stick. Listen to this lady rant on. It's sickening.
And for any Israelis watching this right now, I want you to be clear. I want you to understand this, okay? You are hated internationally. Hated. The whole international community loathes you. Young American citizens in this country, both left and right, loathe you. And eventually, these are the people who are going to come into power. Don't be mistaken based on the propaganda you hear in American media. That's not representative of how the American people feel about you. You're hated. And it's not because you're Jewish. It's because you slaughter innocent people. It's because you think you're God's chosen people when you act like absolute demons. You guys like to slaughter people and steal land, and you think you're better than everyone else. You think that you're entitled to everything, including our tax dollars. It's disgusting.
She pulls the mask away and tells you that really she's bitter about being God's chosen people again. Oh, how about that? She seems to me that she's a little bit jealous. The seeds that have been planted, the seeds that have been planted by the news media, are taking root. It's like Alistair Heath said, there's something underneath. When you pull the mask away a little bit, when you dig under the surface, there's something that's bothering them that's not what they admit. They talk about political things. They talk about the false stuff that they've listened to. But really, when it gets down to it, there's something, there's a layer underneath. There's a layer of anti-Semitism that's the same thing there has been, fueled by blood libels as it has been all down the centuries. Their wickedness is great. Joel chapter 3, verse 12. Let the heathen be wakened and come up to the valley of Jehoshaphat, for there will I sit to judge all the heathen round about. Put ye in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come you down, for the press is full, the fats overflow, for their wickedness is great. And he carries on down. Verse 16, the Lord shall roar out of Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem, and the heavens and the earth shall shake, but the Lord will be the hope of his people and the strength of the children of Israel. This has been the Bible in the News. Please join us for more next week, God willing.